M14, number 3B.
So you see, it took 35 years of revision and revision and revision to bring that subject from its initial investigation in the first edition to the last edition, where she handles the whole subject of animal magnetism from the point of truth and love, namely from the standpoint that animal magnetism is a belief, and from the standpoint that it has no quality of truth, and from the standpoint of love, where she shows that love is all in all, and in this all in all there is no room for anything else. So anything else is just suppositional. Now, I must let you go, if you have to go, but I would like to recapitulate those things in 10 minutes for those who can stay. You should go. Mrs. Nelson just gives me a note in which is written that John Dorley, in about 1926, told his students to read Ways That Are Vain once a week for a whole year. And then there is a remark in brackets, so we did. They must have been very obedient students. Now, what have we seen in those 7 main revisions of the chapter on animal magnetism unmasked? The first edition showed the necessity, the imperative necessity, to investigate animal magnetism, not to shut one's eyes to it. The second edition, Noah's Ark edition, was a great challenge of good and evil, a challenge to bring out the difference which exists between the divine mind and mortal mind. That the divine mind is always working good, brings always light and healing, whereas mortal mind is the serpent which has the knowledge of good and evil. Then the third edition, the second edition was called Mesmerism. The third edition had the title Demonology, in which the degrading aspect of mental practice was uncovered, the abuse of mesmerism, the animal, the debased qualities were shown. And there she asked to find our safety, our integrity, by sticking to the rules of metaphysics, by abiding to the rules of metaphysics. That only by abiding by the rule of metaphysics, our identity cannot be marred, defaced, cannot be distorted, cannot be attacked. Then we had the fourth edition, or revision, it's the fourth revision, which was still called Demonology, but in which she presented the whole subject of demonology in an impersonal way, as a general, generic claim, no more bringing in all those personal experiences which she had. Then the fifth revision showed for the first time the title Animal Magnetism, and was all about the sense of persecution, how animal magnetism persecutes, how the dragon persecutes the spiritual idea. You know, it's that point where we feel that sometimes when somebody makes a step forward in a divine and spiritual way, that the dragon is right at hand to devour the child. And in that period she dealt with that argument that animal magnetism can persecute and can hinder the advancement and development of the spiritual idea. It is the period of struggle, and it is that period where she opened the Department on Animal Magnetism in the journal with those articles, Ways That Are Vain, with the article by Mrs. Eddy of Malicious Animal Magnetism. It just shudders you when you read that article, what she says there. And one begins to feel that people got afraid of animal magnetism. By trying to meet animal magnetism, they may have malpracticed just the same. And so she stopped that whole thing with that 1890 article where she says, now drop the question of animal magnetism and try to handle it through the love for all mankind. Then comes the sixth revision in 1891, and in this sixth revision of truth we have for the first time that sense that animal magnetism is not a reality but a belief, and that not one quality of truth but is error, and therefore has that scriptural note which says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, where she naturally showed that the best way to be free from evil works is to do good works. That to do good works, good activity always keeps us away from bad activity, and sees in that way the way to handle the claim of animal magnetism. Then comes the seventh revision, introduced, I think, by that article from Mrs. Eddy, What Our Leader Says, where she says, therefore fill and fill and fill your thought more and more and more with all what you know about God and his right idea about the all in all. Have the science of this one God, and if you fill your consciousness completely with that one God, evil has no door through which to enter. And then you handle animal magnetism from the point of view of the allness of God and the nothingness of evil. It's that point where evil always is called so-called mortal mind, so-called despotism, so-called force, it's always so-called, where it's suppositional, hypothetical, and where evil comes to be so thin that it evaporates, and the oneness and the onlyness of good is all-abiding and omnipotent. So this is, I think, the line of development in Mrs. Eddy's thought through her revisions of Science and Health. Could she think out that line? No. She began at the point of revelation of mind and was willing to let mind unfold to her the next step, and the second step to unfold the third step. Was the Divine Spirit inspiring her and showing her the way always further and further? In each step of her way, she began to meet a foe. She was in danger. Her child was in danger. And so, from time to time, a new step was necessary, and she did it. And now, retrospectively, we see that she obeyed the divine order. Well, I don't know what is bigger, to see that there is a divine order, or to see that Mrs. Eddy obeyed the divine order. I think both are so enormous that one can't help but stand in awe before it. Stand in awe that there is an impersonal order of which Mrs. Eddy wasn't consciously conscious, and that there was an order in being that led her, just as it led civilization, that led her step by step to fulfill her mission. And so, if that order exists, it exists also for us. And if it exists for us, it is only to us to listen to the next step, to be brave, but also individual enough to let our development take us forward and forward in an inspired way, and not in the way the other fellow thinks we should progress, and what we should do, and what we should accomplish. We shouldn't handle the Word of God deceitfully. We shouldn't interfere with the inspired Word of God, which takes each one of us by the hand and shows him his individual way, which is always ordered, but always individual. Now, we have seen through these revisions how the subject animal magnetism has been approached through seven different standpoints, until we have the final text. The final text has seven subjects, and tomorrow we'll take in the morning the seven subjects, and in the afternoon I will try to show or present the idea for you to challenge, for you to ponder, for me to ponder. It's so new, that whole thing, in where we see that the way she now has the final text is nothing else but the summary of those seven revisions in the same order, but viewed and treated from the point of view of truth and love, from the highest standpoint. So that the first subject of that chapter has a lot of similarity with the first edition of Science and Health, but viewed from the standpoint of truth and love, viewed from the standpoint of the allness of mind and the nothingness of imagination. And so is each subject. And if that is true, then I must say God is very big in its science. Then somebody can come along and say that there is no sign in the text when I knock him down.